Today on Real Radio.
I saw a guy last Sunday walk right past me. I know him. He was a murderer. He did his time. And he's out. And he's sitting right next to you right now. I'm kidding. A real murderer. Free. But not free until Jesus sets him free. There is no sin that can keep you from the salvation of Christ except your pride.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a topical series that takes Scripture and applies its principles to our lives. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in the opening presentation, quite simply called The Disciplines of Discipleship.
There's no such thing as discipleship without being converted to Christ. This may sound almost insulting to some of us, but it's the most basic, fundamental thing is that we be discipled. In fact, Satan has engineered, listen, a plethora of things to give you enough religion, a little injection, a little inoculation of religion to get you going on something, and then he'll load you up with being busy, being preoccupied, going through maybe legalism. Listen, when we're not converted to Christ, but religious, we will gravitate towards legalism. We will love legalism. Why? Because it feeds the flesh. Did you pray today? Did you read today? Did you go to this today? Did you do that today? I did. Boy, I tell you, when you meet that kind of an attitude, you are meeting an attitude that is proud, that is impressed with self, that is grandizing self, and there's no room for Christ. Legalism is a dangerous thing, and legalism always looks down the nose upon other people. Discipleship demands conversion, and Satan will gladly allow you to have a little bit of religion. It could be even a little inoculation of Christianity. All of the trappings. Maybe you own a cross. Maybe you own a Bible. Maybe you go to church at Christmas and Easter. Just enough for you to think, I'm okay with God. But let me ask you, are you faithfully, daily following Jesus as he demands of us? That's required. You say, Jack, are you saying that I work my way into heaven? I'm saying the exact opposite. Once you are converted, you start your path with God. You start a walk with God. You're already saved. If you die the night that you give your heart to Christ, or 30 years later, you're just as saved all along the way. Don't think for a moment, well, who's up there in the big seats in heaven? The guys that have been saved along? Is that Billy Graham's seat up there? Billy Graham was saved the moment he said yes to Jesus as he is now. But see, when we think legalism and works, no, that's not salvation. Works is the fruit that comes out of knowing the Lord. It has nothing to do with salvation other than in this life, it shows forth that we've done good works unto God. But no true person converted walks around saying, man, look, wow, I've got so many great works. Boy, heaven is going to be really happy to see me show up. That's not how it works. Mark this down. It's important. It's this. Remembering our sinful state. Discipleship requires conversion, and we need to be reminded of the fact, church, listen, I'm not insulting you tonight, so don't get up and run out of the building. I'm saying this, that we who are disciples of Jesus are very mindful that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. That's why we sing with our hands lifted up. We're so happy. We are so glad about that he saved us. Mark this. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man, you would think if God said that in the Bible as he did, that there's no hope for us. The exact opposite. The doctor says to you, you're sick, and I'm going to give you this shot to make you better. Stop right there. when we were little kids, we would plead with our mothers. We would do anything we want, anything that we could to get her to not take us to go get that shot at the doctor's. You guys, I had a medical procedure not too long ago. Actually, it was a little bit of a while ago, I guess, now that I think about it. And, you know, they put you out. And during the procedure, I woke up. But when I was in recovery, I didn't remember that. But the doctor comes into the recovery room and says, and he comes in and he takes his mask off and he's laughing. And I'm thinking, well, I guess everything went fine. And he says, man, you okay? You know, and I go, yeah, you know, fine. And he goes, man, you woke up halfway through that procedure. And he said, you started swinging at me and trying to hit the nurses. And we turned up the flow of the heroin or whatever they put in your face. And before it took effect, he said, you started saying to me, doctor, I'll give you my car. I'll give you my wallet. I started bribing the, I'll do anything if you just stop this. The doctor was working on me to fix me. He had a plan that would make my life better. I was resisting. When the Bible says all have sinned, the person who's not converted but is religious hears that and goes, I can't believe I'm hearing that in church. Well, first of all, it's in the Bible. Where are you going to hear this? This is Bible. I can't believe God would say that. That can't be in the Bible. No, it's there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It gets better. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none that does righteousness. No, not one. So, man, you're giving me a paper cut and you're pouring salt on it right now. No, listen, the doctor says you're sick, you need help, we need to do this. And that's how you get better. God says, didn't Jesus say, I've come to heal those that are sick. I've come to deliver those and find those who are lost. What you want to do is wake up to the reality of being a disciple. You've got to start with being converted to Christ first. And so, well, Pastor, how do I know if I've been converted to Christ? It's very simple to know. You will want him to rule and reign in your life. Yes, you and I struggle with grabbing the reins and grabbing the wheel, and then the Lord says, excuse me, but can I drive now? And you go, yeah, okay, and you hand it back over. That happens every day in thought process and decision making and issues. We got to keep handing him the wheel. That's the life of a disciple. Disciples don't necessarily walk on water, but there are times when they could, you know. There are times when disciples don't always raise the dead, but there's times, you know, they've been called to do that. Think about that for just a moment. There were disciples preaching and teaching, and they were doing a great job of it, but there was a little boy possessed with a demon, and Jesus had to come down the mountain and rescue the disciples from their moment of weakness. And didn't Jesus say, this one does not come out but without much fasting and prayer? It's an amazing thing to follow Jesus Christ. An example of being a disciple and being one that's disciplined. Listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isn't that good news? Yes. So, okay, I'm feeling better now. Listen to what Paul said. This is the ultimate disciple, Paul the Apostle. The next thing he says after that comma is, of whom I am chief. Do you hear that? You guys, if Paul the Apostle were here right now, and we had a camera and a microphone, say, Paul, you said that right there in 1 Timothy 1:15. Did you mean that? Are you listening? Yes. A true disciple will say, listen, not only did I say it, but in my discipleship with Jesus, walking on the same road with him these years, I have come to this conclusion that there's no good thing that dwells within me unless God does it. That within me, I understand that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, right here, right now, one of the reasons why I've been longing for this series is because there is somebody perhaps in a crowd this size being tempted in their thoughts right now, I'm not going to come back and ever hear that again. Do you know what? I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I hope that you have a change of mind. You'll never see heaven unless, as a disciple, you understand that the Savior saves sinners. It's sin that scourged our lives and wrapped us up to deliver us to hell. And he comes and rescues us from that. That causes us to turn around and say, Lord, I don't know how you do that. But you said in your Bible, to whom much is forgiven, that person loves much. Only God in Jesus Christ through the cross and resurrection from the dead can take your sinful life and mine and turn it around for a victory. That's why this church, I saw a guy last Sunday walk right past me. I know him. He was a murderer. He did his time. And he's out. And he's sitting right next to you right now. I'm kidding. A real murderer. Free. But not free until Jesus sets him free. There is no sin that can keep you from the salvation of Christ except your pride. And so listen, I want to say I love you. I love you so much to tell you this. As if I were a doctor, remember our sinful state, that God has saved us and we've been delivered from a great, great scourge, as it were. I was speaking at a conference out of state on Tuesday, and for them it was kind of radical. For you guys, it's normal. And then afterwards, I was out, you know, walking around and stuff, and people were saying, man, you're so excited about God. You're so excited about God. And I said, well, yeah. I mean, come on. If you knew how much he has forgiven me, then you'd be excited about God too. See, only God can take and the worst and turn things around. It's wonderful. Our sins in light of his sacrifice, no wonder why we lift our hands in praise. That's what disciples do. Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw the catch of fish, he fell down at Jesus' feet and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's a disciple. Perhaps the most wonderful example of awareness is in Luke 18, 13. It's very humble. It's very precious. This is a disciple in the making. And the tax collector, standing afar off, Jesus said, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat upon his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified. I hope all of you understand the magnitude of that. That the true person who's a disciple has first entered into that course with conversion, has been born again, as Jesus said in John 3, and walks a life of appreciation. Honestly, come on. It's awful quiet in here. You guys with me? Yes. This is a very important thing. I could post a bunch of rules on a wall. And welcome to our church, and here is this 89 rules that you have to keep at our church. And if you do all these, then maybe you'll get baptized. If you do all these things, maybe you can become a member. All these hoops and stuff to jump through. And here's the thing. If you're unconverted and you jump through those hoops, you come out the other end and your head is so big you can't even get it through the sanctuary doors. Because you're so impressed with you. Because you've made the grade. If you're converted and you're going through those steps, like Martin Luther, remember, he goes to Rome and he's going up those stairs on his knees. And he had just read that the just shall live by faith. And he's going up those stairs on his knees and there's blood on those steps. And people are going up there to get purified. Luther gets halfway up there and then he makes it to the top and he sees what's going on. And he says, you know what? This is nuts. The just shall live by faith. You say, well, Pastor, you mean faith? That's too simple. Listen, faith also requires that we come to God and actually come to God after being slain to death by the Holy Spirit, so to speak. You and I are to be crucified regarding our own passions and desires. Are you guys hanging on? Are you ready for this? you can't say you're a disciple and live like Hades 6 days a week and then come running into church and I'm good, God, right? I'm good, right? I'm here, right? That's got to count for something, right? And then run back out and live for yourself. You know what the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6? It says you've deceived yourself. And 1 John says, the light and the truth is not in you. Do I expect these Wednesday nights to grow after making such things? Only with those who care. This is very serious stuff. I'd rather have you be 30 of you, totally pumped up, ready for heaven, ready to take on the world, than a big fat church and we're all anemic. We're all, you know, skin and bones, so to speak, spiritually. I read a guy today who said that what we need to experience as disciples is the despondent despairing of self, is what sets the disciple of Jesus Christ on his journey. Have you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Church, I encourage you. It's usually every year the second most purchased book in the world, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Get a modern version of it and read it. You won't be able to put it down. And you'll understand that statement. Jesus said this way in Matthew 11, 29. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. That's a disciple. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to learn from him. For I am gentle, he says, and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. It's amazing that God himself declares that he's humble. Don't you think that if you're talking to a real disciple, there'll be a manifest humility in their life? You know what? It will be obvious. Remembering our state. Point number two is this. The disciplines of discipleship. Number two is discipleship requires a cost. It is costly. There's a cost to discipleship that cannot be paid by anyone or anyone else. It's got to be our experience. It requires personal discipline. Just saying that sounds strange in our age and our culture, huh? You guys, I tell you, and it's divine. I'm going to share something with you personal. It's not in my notes, but you need to hear it because it's good for you. With all the stuff that's coming against my life and this church, a week or so ago, remember we had General Boykin here. And I don't know what amazing decree was made in heaven, but since him coming, that precious man now has called my house 5 or 6 times. We have talked several days, back-to-back days. And he just says, Jack, I was praying. I got a word from the Lord for you. You need to hear this. I am hearing the general of the Delta Force, a legend, and he's saying, listen, I was praying for you. And you need to hear this. And I'm listening to this stuff, and you know you're kind of like this. And he's, hello, General, hi, how are you? He starts talking. What? What? Okay. Oh my gosh. Do you know what that does? It makes you want to get back on the journey again. It makes you say, that's right. Hallelujah. Makes you put your helmet on and want to just run. It's exciting. But it requires personal discipline. I will get up earlier and pray. I will make time to read my Bible. So, Jack, this sounds legalistic. No, it's not. It's personal disciplines. Young people tonight, I promise you, make time for God first. Look, listen, parents, just hear me out for a second. Young people, you don't need to set up a New Year's resolution. I'm going to Twitter less this year. I'm not going to Facebook as much. You know what? You can make those promises all you want. It's not going to work. You know how you beat it? You know how you get victory over this? You start to pursue God. I'm hooked on Facebook. Hey, okay, look, let's not talk about Facebook. Here's what you're going to do. Before you eat, drink, or go to the bathroom, I'm just talking to the guys in here tonight. Hey, guys, girls, you can listen in too. Guys, let's make a covenant. You get up in the morning, okay, we'll let you go to the bathroom, okay? But you will not eat, you will not drink until you've spent an hour with Jesus. You say, are you kidding me? Try it and see what happens. You know all those things that plague you? Is it pornography? You want to have it destroyed in your life? You don't go to some course, or you don't tell all your friends about it, or you don't, you know, go on to some online, you know, replace it with Jesus Christ. Amen. Make no time for that stuff by making time for Him. Amen. And He'll push it out. He will not share you with any pagan altar. Amen. Well, you know what, Pastor Jack, that's not my thing, but Nordstrom's is my thing. Get up, go to the bathroom, but you're not going to eat or drink anything or go to work until you've spent an hour with God. Discipline yourself. You got to do this. Oh, I hope someone's hearing tonight, and I hope that somebody hears this and does this for a week or two or three or a month and comes back and says, Pastor Jack, get out of the way. I got to tell those people that what you said worked. Because that other junk's destroying lives. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, the junk of the world, he will be a vessel fit for honor. Don't you want to be that? A disciple does. A disciple says, yeah, I do. Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. That's a great word. That means you've been in church listening, and you leave on Sundays and Wednesdays and all the other days that you're here, and you run out of the building. What do you want me to do now? God, just show me. Point me in the direction. Man, that's awesome. Ready for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord of a pure heart, but avoid foolish. Listen to this. Avoid. Can you guys hear me? Yes. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they lead or generate strife. If somebody says, hey, man, you want to hear this thing about Fred? Number one, say, can I quote you? That's all, that will always stop them. Hey, you want to hear the latest gossip? Well, before you tell me, can I quote you? What's your name anyway? Can I quote you? And then secondly, I would even talk with them. I would just take off. I would flee those stupid, youthful lusts and the like.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in the opening presentation of his series called The Disciplines of Life. It's called, quite simply, The Discipline of Discipleship. It's a look at what Scripture says about being discipled as a true follower of Jesus, and part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, what we just heard is available online at realradioactive.org. You can hear today's broadcast once again, or purchase the message in its entirety. Just visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and right under Pastor Jack's photo, click the tab that says Today's Broadcast, and then the word Purchase if you'd like to hear the presentation in its entirety. Again, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.